Morning. Good to see you all out today. There are things that happen in a person's lives that really make an impact on you, and things that stick with you and really stand out in your life. And I want to share one of those times with you in my life. And from that, this, what I'm sharing, will lead into the service today. About 25 years ago, Oh, I hope I can get through this. A friend of mine by the name of Dick, that I had lost touch with, ended up in a Calgary hospital, suffering from an inoperable brain tumor. The diagnosis was not good. And the Lord started to lay upon my heart if my friend was saved or if he even knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And I tracked down the hospital that he was in. And I phoned through and got to the hospital, and they put me through to the floor in the ward that he was in. And I asked the nurse if I could talk to him. And she says, I'll take him the phone, but do not expect to be able to talk to him. The tumor had progressed to the point that he was unable to talk and unable to make conversation. He was unable to comprehend anything intellectual or intelligent. But she took the phone to him, and I started talking to him, and all I heard was garble and muttering. But yet I kept talking to him. I told him who I was and that the Lord had laid him upon my heart. And I was very concerned whether he knew the Lord and whether he even knew who Jesus Christ was. And I said, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, bud?" And it was like a light switch went click. And he said to me, "I am born again. I have placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him for forgiveness. And I thank him every day for saving me." Click. End the conversation. End anything that even resembled words. Just ramblings. And I started to praise the Lord that he opened that window in heaven and he blessed me with knowing that. And every time I share this story, my heart is overwhelmed, because at that moment, I saw the clarity of Christ. And today I want to speak on, I named it service, From Corruption to Clarity. Because one of the meanings of corruption is to decay physically. So my friend's mind had been corrupted. Well, I'd like to stop in prayer. Stand with me while we pray, please. Only because of you, Heavenly Father, can I tell this. Can I proclaim my friend's testimony? Only in you, Lord, is the clarity of the gospel, the transparency, the purity of it. Lord, I pray your blessing today. I pray that the hearts and minds are open here today, that we can glean from your word, that we can hold your word solid in us and know that you are there. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Today I'm going to start in Galatians chapter 6. Did that just get louder? And if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 7. Paul's writing to the churches at Galatia, and he writes, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Corruption, as I said, one meaning of it is to decay physically. Another meaning is to be dishonest or evil behavior. The causing of someone else to do wrong, a change from the original to the worse, to destroy or to perish. As with my friend Dick, when I said his mind was corrupt, that fell under the meaning of decay physically. Whereas in this passage, the word corruption can basically include all of these meanings. As the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the churches at Galatia, being a Pharisee in his former life, and knowing the origins of the scriptures, and just maybe reflected on the book of Genesis as he wrote it. Because if we turn to Genesis 3, this could be the passage that Paul was thinking about. Genesis 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Satan that day planted the seeds of corruption in a garden that God had declared very good. Not only had Satan planted the seeds of corruption, but he became the author of confusion, the author of perversion, and the author of chaos. As the author of confusion, it means the lack of understanding, uncertainty. As the author of perversion, is to cause, to turn aside or away from what is good or true, to divert to a wrong end or purpose. And chaos, complete disorder and confusion. These seeds have been producing crops now for 6,000 years. And we just have to follow the timeline of Scripture to see the results. It took but just 1,600 years from the garden to get to Noah. And the whole world, less than eight, harvested from the seeds of Satan. Genesis 6 says, starting at 11 and 12, it says, I hear pages, I'll wait. The earth also was corrupt. Sorry, I wrote something wrong. In verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah had sown seeds of righteousness. Scripture tells us he was a just man, he was perfect, and Noah walked with God. Noah had clarity of God. If you go on into Genesis 7, verse 1, Noah reaped from the seeds of righteousness. And God said, come into the ark. God was waiting inside for him and his family. And as the door closed, Noah and his family were in the very presence of the Creator God. The clarity of it all, the transparency and purity of a living God. And as we follow the timeline throughout Scripture, we can think of different times, such as the Tower of Babel, the time of Pharaoh and Moses, the wanderings in the desert of the Israelites, and we can see how the seeds of Satan have caused such turmoil, death, and destruction. And I want to move ahead now to the time of King David, a man that God had sought after his own heart, a man that had planted the seeds of righteousness only to succumb to the seeds of Satan, a man that went from clarity to corruption. But that is not the end of the story. In Psalms 51, it shows us King David recognized the corruption and repented and returned to the seeds of righteousness. And I want to read from Psalms 51 because we really need to understand this. Psalms 51, verse 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." What a beautiful picture of reconciliation. If only we could get our governments to read this chapter. The seeds of Satan did not stop growing. We see the brazen arrogance of Satan as he met Christ in the wilderness, where he tempted him. And what does Satan do? He corrupts and he perverts the scripture, only to be shown the truth by the living word, Jesus Christ. And as I was writing this, I thought of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That verse is the perfect clarity of the living word and the written word. But Satan doesn't stop. No, we see the seeds of corruption at the trials of Christ. The people cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Peter denies him and curses. Judas goes and hangs himself. The rest are scattered and Jesus is left alone. Thomas is left doubting. And no one showed up to see the stone being rolled away. Christ had conquered death and sin. Even after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Satan didn't quit. We see this evidence from Galatians 1. I'm getting back into our base scripture, back in the book of Galatians. Galatians 1, starting at verse 6. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, that there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And remembering the meaning of perversion, to cause, to turn aside or away from what is good or true, or to divert to a wrong end or purpose. These men that came out of Judea, Judaizers, that wanted Paul's converts to add the law to their gospel of grace. I want to show you what Paul's gospel of grace is. And we have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We need to see the clarity of Paul's gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's our gospel. Don't sell it short. We need to realize it and memorize it. These men that came in tried to plant seeds of confusion and corruption, but Paul reprimanded them, even telling them that they would come under his anger and displeasure. And that's what the word accursed means, to fall under someone's anger. Paul also goes on to rebuke the Galatians, stating, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth." And reading from Galatians chapter 6 again. Paul gives more strong instructions in chapter 6, verse 7. And he goes, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." So the question of today is, are these seeds of Satan still producing crops in the world, in our country, in our town, in our churches? All we have to do is turn on the news. A couple minutes, it depresses you. But we still see people reaping and sowing from corruption, confusion, and perversion. But as Paul writes, God's grace is sufficient. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We have a choice which seeds we will sow and which crops we will harvest from. I am so thankful knowing for sure that my friend Dick sowed and reaped from the crop of clarity. And he is with his Savior today. And knowing that I will see him again someday. So in closing, we need to examine ourselves and see which seeds we are sowing and which crops we are reaping from. And we have the choice that we can reap from the crops of Satan, which are corruption, confusion, perversion, or chaos. Or we can reap from the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we can reap from your crops of righteousness. We are blessed with your Holy Spirit's filling. So help us, Lord, to seek after those crops of the Holy Spirit's fruit. And bless this day. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has never placed their faith and trust in your gospel, the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, that today would be the day that they come to saving grace. So Lord, open the hearts and the minds of everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.